This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Huard. And Brooke Huard.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
And the fire!
All right, we got a lot to talk about today, and we'll give you everything you need to know, including the Seahawks signings coming up here in 15 minutes with some thoughts on each of those. Big win for the Kraken last night. I tried to answer a question of Brock's about the Kraken, so we'll dig into all that here coming up in 15 minutes. But we mentioned this yesterday. It was a year ago tomorrow that we lost our friend John Clayton, tragically and too soon. And I think all the shows, you'll probably hear a little bit about him, my guess is, over the course of the day today. Brock, obviously you and I, we didn't spend as many years doing a hit with him every day the way they did in the afternoon show. But we did for a long, long time. I think starting in 2014 during the run to the Super Bowl is when we started doing that John Clayton bit every day.
Wow.
And that's when we developed the wild card and Howdy started just asking him bizarre questions every day. And so, you know, our own way, there's lots of ways to remember John. I don't play these to make fun in any way, but it was something we did with him every day. And I know you'll hear a lot of different tributes to John, but for us, it has to be this, right? It was the oddity of asking John the weirdest questions on Howdy's mind every day.
Time now for the wild card.
The wild card?
The wild card.
Make it rain.
Mr. Professor Clayton.
Yes.
If you're going to domesticate one wild animal and keep it as a pet, which animal would you choose?
Well, I would probably say it's really hard to put anything into a whale because, I mean, it's like, where do you store it? I mean, you can't keep it in your house.
That's tough.
It's a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So, you
need a bigger house.
You need a bigger house.
Well, John, you live so close to Lake Washington. I mean, you could build a little pen out in Lake Washington.
Yeah, but I mean,
whale.
Of course, I mean, if you put the whale there, it'd probably suck up all the water.
How about
and
a dolphin?
Would be over the VMAC.
How about a dolphin? You could domesticate a dolphin, right?
Yeah, but they're always 8 and 8.
Perfect Clayton, right?
Do you think after all those years, John enjoyed the wild cards?
Oh, yeah, I think he did.
I think he did?
Well, in his own way, here's another.
Mr. Professor Clayton.
Yes.
My brother-in-law David asked me this question, and I think it's good. If we were to create a dish in a restaurant and call it the professor, what would that dish be if you were to design it?
You're not talking about a satellite dish, I assume.
No, it's a restaurant. The dish you could eat
and you
there.
Did say this was a good question from your brother, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm up for judgment right now. I'd have to say it'd have to be some kind of coffee cup because, you know, you like to have that coffee in the morning. So that would be the dish that I think would apply to me. I mean, it's not going to be a big plate because usually I don't eat till late in the day. And it's not going to be a dessert plate because I don't eat dessert. So I'd have to think it'd be some kind of a coffee cup to at least, have a latte.
Wait, hold on. I think you're answering it different. I think Howdy means, like, what would, like, the meal be, right?
Oh, you're talking about a meal?
Yeah, right. like dishes, steak and eggs or something like that.
It's new age stuff, John. Don't worry about it. A lot gets lost on
I think
well.
That's what Howdy means,
oh, okay.
But I don't know.
So that's now getting the vagary out of it.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Food questions were always the most fun answers with John.
Yeah, I got another food one.
It.
Here's another food question where John went down quite a road.
Mr. Professor Clayton.
Yes.
If you had to design the perfect burrito, what would be in it?
Wow. Well, I'd say we'd have to have some good meat, right?
Which kind? You go chicken, you go carne asada, you go pork, carnitas.
That's got to be some beef type stuff.
Beef, so you go carne?
If carne would be beef, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I thought carne's a singer, but that's a different story. So go carne. I think, you got to have a good sauce to go in there. So I don't know what kind of sauce would really fit. But that would be good. And then I think, I think onions. You got to get a little slice of onion.
John, I got to ask you a serious question.
I don't eat burritos.
I was going to say, you ever had a burrito?
I've had one, but not in years.
It doesn't seem like you've ever had a burrito.
No, not years.
Like usually they involve beans and rice in a tortilla with some sort of meat, guacamole,
right.
Sour cream, cheese, yep.
Yeah, I'd skip
salsa.
On the guac.
Queso.
No guac.
I spent a lot of time with John. He was not a big Mexican food fan.
No.
He didn't like anything spicy. He didn't like tomatoes, so he didn't like salsa. He didn't like guacamole.
What did
that
he
was, that
eat,
was
Maura?
Not up his alley.
Yeah, what would he
steak
eat?
Tips?
Yeah, he likes steak, potatoes, kind of that.
Heinz 57
yeah.
sauce.
A few limited vegetables.
Yep.
He used to love, there's a place I think called the Kirkland Beach Club that I initially first met him at when Jasmine introduced us for the show. And he loved the, and I don't even think they make it anymore, but he would get them to make it for him.
Obviously.
Because,
yeah.
He's John Clayton. They had an orange chicken dish that he loved there.
Mm. You want a little more John doing the wild card? Here you go.
Mr. Professor Clayton.
Yes.
If you had to wear a football helmet all day long, what normal daily task do you think it would hinder you the most in?
I would say probably trying to knock my head against the wall to answer the wild card. Yeah, it would at least give me a cushion. It would give me protection and all those different things.
Don't you love when John would giggle at his own jokes?
Yes, very much.
He had to love the wild card because everywhere he goes for his entire life, people ask him football questions.
Well, that's why we started doing it.
So
right?
He had to love this.
That was literally why we started it. It was like, hey, if we're going to do something with the professor, this guy gets asked the same football questions all day, every day. He was on, 9,000 different channels all around
never
the country.
No. Justin, he never said
to
no.
Anybody.
Yeah. To anyone, anytime, anywhere. Oh, you want me on at 2 a.m. in Tokyo? Yeah.
Done.
Just call me.
Yep. He would be ready to go no matter what. And so, everybody would ask him the same questions. So we said, well, what if we just asked him something weird every day? And Howdy was the perfect person, of course, to do that.
And we had no idea. Mike and I had no idea what the wild card was going to be. I don't even know if Howdy knew until maybe he cracked the mic.
I think he did. I think Howdy spent a lot of time on the wild card. I think he had like a whole bank of questions ready to go because he also had to do his Fan Fiction Fridays, which were always incredibly bizarre. I do have one more, Brock, that I think you might like. Here's one last John Clayton moment.
Mr. Professor Clayton. If you were going to...
How are you and Brock getting along?
We're getting along really well, actually. It's been an interesting process. But if you were going to be a part of a live-action role-playing group, what weapon do you think that you would be using?
A role-play group?
John, we're going to let you go. John, you got to go. Go get some water. That's enough. You have to stop. Go get some water. That's enough.
Dedication.
That's enough, John. We'll hear from you at 10 o'clock. Oh, my God. I hope somebody
let
me make sure John's okay. Kyle, please check on John. He needs some water. All right, that's the wild card today. Howdy, what did you do to John? We had to check.
More, he was going to push through, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You had to let him go.
There was no way he would stop. And he had been coughing, I think, even leading up to the wild card. So, I mean, that had been going on for a good 5-7 minutes already, and he was done. I mean, like, we had to let him go to preserve John.
When we played that for draws, that's the hardest I've ever seen him laugh. Like, I think he actually had a coughing fit because he was laughing so hard at that.
That was definitely one of the strangest things that's ever happened on this show. So there you go. Our quick little tribute to the professor. I do miss doing that every day. It was great between arguing with John about the things that he and I just did not see eye to eye on every day. Roger Goodell and, various parts of the salary cap. And so we just fight about it, which was always fun. You'd ask John a question. Everything would always come back to, it was database or a couple of things that he knew he could go to. Yeah. But the wild card was unique, and kudos to Howdy, and even more kudos to John for the way he would handle those things. He wasn't, I think if John wasn't so comfortable in who he was, he might have thought he was being made fun of. And he wasn't. It truly was not designed as a way of making fun of John.
It was just peeling back. How do we peel back some layers here? Because I would disagree with one thing you said.
Unique human.
Yeah, a very unique human. But I would disagree with one thing you said. And that was, he got asked the same football questions every day. And I'm sure he got tired of it. No, he did not.
That's true. He didn't get tired of it.
He never, ever.
We would have gotten tired of it. And so we projected that onto him.
Correct.
And thought, hey, let's ask this guy weird questions instead.
Correct.
And he didn't need that.
No.
Which made the whole thing even funnier. That's a very good point, Brock. You're absolutely right.
And that's a good
right.
time to remind everybody the MS Walk.
Yes, MS Walk, and you can go to seattlesports.com/events and join our team that we've created for the MS Walk in April. Good stuff, and just our little memory of John. All right, we'll come back and get back to modern day. We'll talk through the moves the Seahawks made, a wonderful, wonderful game from the Kraken last night, and a question Brock asked me the other day that I'm getting closer to answer. It's next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Man, the Seahawks really have been busy, and they continue to add pieces, or in some cases bring a few pieces back. Drew Lock is going to be back at the quarterback room next year. John Schneider breaking that news on with Wyman and Bob yesterday.
Drew Lock, man. Let's go. Yeah, coming back. He's got it done.
Drew Locke, yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Yeah. Drew Locke, is that where you were? You were up there finalizing the deal with Drew Locke?
Yes.
Just got that. Very nice. What can you give terms? One year, two years?
Yeah, no.
All right.
No. No. What a great guy, though. I'm really excited, you know.
Is there another GM in the NFL like John Schneider? Is there a single other GM in the NFL that would walk into an interview and high-five both hosts?
Yeah, no. There's a few. There's a few.
No, there really aren't. I don't believe that's true, and it's what makes John great and sets him apart. Super fun. Drew Locke, $4 million deal with up to seven and a half, with all the incentives. At least that's how it was reported. I still believe they could absolutely draft a quarterback at number five. Also yesterday, Brock Devin Bush, big-time number 10 overall pick, linebacker out of Michigan, has been with Pittsburgh the last few years. He agrees to a one-year deal, and then also a center, Evan Brown. Mm-hmm. So Seahawks are super busy right now.
They are, and I'll tell you this, man, they stay true to what they know and how they built this thing. I mean, you look now at these free agents that they have signed, other than Jaron Reed, who is a little bit older, a little longer in the tooth, but they know him inside and out because they were the ones who drafted and developed him. Look at Dre Jones. He's 26. Devin Bush is 24. He's 24. He's younger than Stetson Bennett and Hendon Hooker, who are going to be drafted next month. Evan Brown is 26, so they continue to do what they like to do, and what's in their sweet spot is not sign 30-somethings, sign mid-20-somethings with some upside, and they continue to do that. Yesterday, I would disagree just a little bit, and I think you're right. I think the terms of Drew Locke's deal will tell us an awful lot, but I'd be surprised with now Geno and Drew back in the fold that a QB would be taken at number five.
Yeah, I think you and I are going to disagree on this one. I'm not saying it's going to happen, obviously, because it depends who they're in love with and what happens ahead of time, etc. But they needed to protect themselves. They're going to have a quarterback somewhere, right? You don't know how the draft is going to go.
But are you going to have two?
Well, you needed to have a second quarterback, right? You weren't going to go into the season with one guy on
Absolutely
your team.
Absolutely not. But now you've got two, so you're going to take a guy with that real estate at number five?
I still think it's possible, but I would wait and see, as I said. If Drew turns out Drew Locke's $4 million is all guaranteed, then at that point, yeah, I'll probably agree with you.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
How many times have you heard something that sounds exactly like this?
The windup and the pitch. Jared swinging a line shot. Base hit straightaway center field. Wong to third. He's going to be held up by Manny. The throw in by Slater, the center fielder. And Jared Kelnick just continues to destroy the baseball.
God help me, I am so 100% all in on Jared Kelnick right now. He's just doing all the right things. Another hit yesterday, drives it right back up the middle, steals a bag. It was a 0-0 tie, so there wasn't a lot of run scoring. And George Kirby was very good yesterday in his next start. But I just am so excited for the possibility of Kelnick, and I know I could get hurt again, but right now I don't care.
Yeah, because what feels a little different is he is just spraying the ball everywhere, and we have seen that for the entire month. You said, how often are we seeing this? Well, every day he's in the lineup. I mean, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? He's down in Peoria because he gets a hit every single time he's in the lineup, and those hits come in different shapes and forms, but most of them are hit pretty darn hard, and the fact that he's, you know, up through the middle first, and then everything plays off of that, to me, portends for some pretty good and maybe different things than we've seen the previous 3 years.
You know, it's funny. I asked Jerry DePoto yesterday about third catchers, and I was sort of asking about Cooper Hummel, and he went there.
Well, you know, I think for sure, all things being equal and all players being healthy, it's, you know, Cal Raleigh and Tom Murphy are going to break camp on our club. And, you know, they will get the reps behind home plate in 99% of the circumstances based on the general layout now. That said, you know, and I will specifically speak to Cooper Hummel, who has been one of the most impressive players we've had in camp this year. He's been a great story, acquired him over the offseason. He's got a super approach, switch hitter, he's got power from both sides, hits the ball hard, he runs well, and he happens to catch. You know, he has a multi-position profile.
I think, unfortunately, yesterday was not a good day for Cooper Hummel's chances to make the team, and he didn't have anything to do with it. He's hitting the ball great. He's playing great, etc. But when Dylan Moore was scratched with a continued issue with his side, his oblique, that was not good because they're going to need somebody else up the middle.
Yeah, that was good news for Tommy La Stella, who is still coming back from an injury as well. But bad for Demo. We will ask Shannon about that an hour from now.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Bjorkstrand for Dunn. He'll step in. Gord's out in front. They score!
Hey, hey, what do you say? Vince Dunn wins it in overtime, and his point streak will continue.
He sure does. The Kraken have turned themselves into a really good 3-on-3 team, and a couple of really nice plays made to eventually get the puck back. Jordan Eberle had a fantastic game last night without getting onto the score sheet. They played really well. They dominated that game for much of it, weren't able to solve Reimer, and then eventually finally got him twice in the last few minutes. So Kraken win 2-1, a win they absolutely had to have. Brock, you asked me recently if Matty Beniers was dropping off a little bit, so I tried to really pay attention to it and watch him in particular last night, and my answer is yes and no. I think he's been a little bit more inconsistent. I think he's struggling a little bit more with some of the physical elements of the game. That said, his passing, his vision, he nearly set up the game winner. I mean, he sees things that other guys do not.
Good. Well, that's good news. And I think I can ask that just as the young guys typically hit the wall. We see that all the time in every sport. Major League Baseball, they try to protect the innings. The NBA, they didn't run out of gas. Certainly at the collegiate level, and speaking of the collegiate level, how about a little madness yesterday? And by the way, kudos to our own Justin Barnes. As I'm looking at the old ESPN standings right now, I think did you pick Indiana to win the whole thing, Justin?
I may or may not have picked Indiana to win the whole thing.
I think you picked Indiana to win the whole thing. But right now, a four-way tie with big winner Bob, Bear Downward, that's the appropriate name, as Arizona loses yesterday, C-Raj, and of course Stacy. I mean, Stacy's going to be at the top of
these things.
But a four-way tie with Justin Barnes right there in the fold.
I have a feeling my bracket could take a serious downturn since I picked Montana State today.
Don't worry about it. Right now, you're tied for first.
Yeah, bragging rights today.
Beat Virginia yesterday.
That's true. It could happen.
You never know. You
got Princeton beat Arizona.
Bragging rights today. State.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. All right, let's see. Lots still to come. My God, we're busy today. Draymond Jones is going to join us coming up in just over a half hour, 9 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to talking to him. We have been told that he's a pretty interesting dude. So looking forward to hearing some of his, take on the world and learning about him a little bit. We will do that coming up at 9 o'clock. But before we get there, you know what time it is. There's only one time it could possibly be. It's Friday. It's 8:30. He's wearing four pieces of clothing, a hat, a sweatshirt, pants, and shoes. None of which I could pull off. All of which, yes, you're right, Devin Bush could probably make work. G. Scott will give the people what they want next.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Well, it's always good to give the people what they want, especially on Fridays at 8:30. And I will admit, hearing some of that funk makes me think of the professor we've been talking about a little bit throughout the day. It will be 1 year tomorrow since we lost John Clayton too early.
Man.
G. Scott, you hosted a show with him for a while here on this station. Spent a lot of time with John. And, when I hear the funk music, how do you not think of him?
J.C., I got an opportunity. I just told you right before we came on the air just now, you didn't let me know that the car wash guy, I was just washing cars a year and a half prior. Now it's,
G, you're gonna be hanging out with me. I'm going to show you some things.
Man, I miss J.C., bro. Like, he was,
J.C., what do you think? You know Lil Wayne loves me, right?
And Lil Wayne actually, no, that's not a lie. Like, usually somebody would say Lil Wayne loves me.
Right.
Lil Wayne loved John Clayton.
Of course he did.
Lil Wayne, jumped a barricade at a Super Bowl event to go say hi to him.
It was a very low barricade.
Perception, reality, G. Perception, when you listen to the professor, you watch the professor for all those years on SportsCenter, at ESPN, on the radio, the perception, and then the reality of working alongside of him. What stood out the most between those two?
I never was able to find – Mar, what did he used to call it?
Database?
His database. I worked with J.C. a whole lot. Every time I walked him – Hey, J.C., bruh, where's that database?
Oh, he carried it with him.
Oh, he never showed you, G?
He never showed me
the database. Was just a bunch of computer printouts of an Excel file.
A hardcover, he literally just reprinted it all the time.
I sat on a plane next to him, and he pulled it out on the plane. I was like, oh, he's pulling his computer out. No, he's pulling like a manila folder. Pages stapled together. That was like the ark, man. That was there. Nobody else could touch it. Nobody else could see it. That was
the covenant, otherwise known as John's folder.
Did he handcuff it to himself? Like, was it dramatic?
Hey man, I miss JC, man. That was my guy, and may he rest in peace. I owe him a lot, being able to do a show with him every single day. I mean, that's pretty cool.
You and John were a fun combination together for a little while too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was John's show, but G was there, and G and Moore both spent a lot of time with John over the course of John's show.
I produced that show with them.
Right. I mean, it was pretty entertaining. G was a funny part to that show. You were a funny combination with John.
You guys both like to ask me to pull Sound of When You Were Right a lot. And then you would compete over, like, who was more right.
That sounds right.
That checks out. About right. Hey, real quick, before we get to going, I see the three of us are on screen. And I just noticed something right now, and I ain't trying to get in your business. Brock, what you been doing, man? You look thin to win, player. Mm. You look thin. Yeah.
Little 30-10, G.
I'm seeing you, bro. Yeah. I say, man, that's a thin Brock Huer. That's UW Brock Huer. That's 1990s wow. Brock Huer.
Are you back to college weight?
Yeah. You know, that's pretty accurate there, G.
What's your wife think?
Oh, she's down, too. She's looking good, too. Ooh, Molly. Molly's like UW Molly right now, too.
Really? Get her on screen. Let's see. Let's see what Molly looks like right now.
Yeah, okay.
No?
Maybe a little bit.
Or maybe a little later. Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can make that happen. All right, can we talk a few minutes of what's going on in the world here in Seattle? Gee, let's go through, because we haven't talked to you since last week. Seahawks have been busy since then. Bringing back Jaron Reed, signing Dre Jones, who we're going to talk to in less than a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, bringing back Drew Locke, who I know you're a big fan of, right? Mm-hmm. So, busy Seahawks. Devin Bush yesterday went to Michigan. Huge signing.
Yeah.
I know you love those Michigan guys.
No, I do not.
I think you do.
I do not.
Team up north.
The team up north. Thank you, Brock. I can't even say the name, but I do like Devin Bush, and I do like some of the players from the team up north. Okay. They do produce some pretty good ones. Look, I said it last Friday, and I'll say it again. Brock, hey, man, these Seahawks have had an amazing offseason. These Seahawks haven't had one like this where we felt like this in March since March of 2015. Let me take y'all back. Do you remember? Do y'all remember when the starting running back was going to be Eddie Lacy? Lord! Do you remember those times? And how we sat here on the radio because we were the partner trying to make that sound good. Well, Eddie Lacy, he sure does look good. He slimmed down. And
had to put a weight clause in there to make sure he didn't balloon back up.
Brock would get on with Salk like, well, he had a good practice. I mean, come on now. I mean, we was really trying to do everything with the whole Eddie Lacy. I don't know. It's been a good offseason so far.
Yeah. It feels to me, G, and you're around there an awful lot. It feels to me with this kind of resonating is guys want to be here. I think after, you know, some of the deals that were made and some of the moves you made to clear out the roster and kind of make it now in the image of John and Pete starting last year and obviously Geno ascending to what he did, it feels to me this offseason that Jaron and Drew and Devin and Dre, and we'll ask Dre in particular in 20 minutes when he joins the show, but this is back to, you mentioned those days before 2015, where guys want to be here, man. I want to be a part of what John and Pete is cooking.
You want to know why? Because these veterans, when they leave here, see, I've been telling y'all this. Y'all wasn't trying to listen to me. When these veterans,
the most G Scott thing ever.
Yeah, that was.
No one has ever built straw men quite like G. Yeah. Like, oh, you guys didn't listen to me when I told you. Like, no, we did, and we've literally repeated it and credited you for it.
You
didn't listen to me. I really did.
Well, first of all, you guys' boss, Big Cal Brown.
Yeah,
he always does it. You know, gee, I said it best. You know, and that's what Big Cal Brown. Anyways, when these veterans leave and they go and they find out about what life is like outside of Seattle, a lot of these folks want to come back, and a lot of times, you know, we fans sometimes think and or believe that, these players don't want to come back here. No, these players be wanting to come back here. They want to come back home. Did y'all see Jaron Reed? Did you see that hug and smile with him and Pete Carroll? I can swear, you can see him say daddy through the picture. Daddy, I'm home! I'm back! And look, you know how how, look, if you've ever been in a relationship and that person took you back, that first day back, you so happy to be there. That was Jay Reid.
I can't tell you how happy I am, G, that you're saying this and not me. I am so glad you were here to say some of the things that you
say. Let's make sure, hey, Maura.
I'm not saying
that. Hey, Maura, make sure you cut that and let's get that to Jaren. Let's send that to Jaren.
How would Jaren feel about that? Yeah.
We're on that. We got it.
I mean, just send it to him right now. If he were to hear it right now, he'd be like, well, he's happy right now.
What if you were to send it to him a few months, like a couple of years ago?
Oh, no, not that Jaren Reed. that Jaren Reed, he would be really mad at me.
You like the deal to bring back Jaren Reed?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And the reason why I like the deal is because, like, the defensive linemen teach and talk about all the time. Cliff Averill, Mike Bennett, all of the Meebane. It takes about 4 to 5 years to be a really good defensive lineman. You don't just come right out and be X. I mean, you have, sure, you can talk
about
some. You got your freaks, right? But for the vast majority of them, it takes some years, right? In anything, this is the 10,000 hours type deal.
You think Bobby wants back?
I mean, I just told you. Yes, I do.
And Frank Clark, and some of the some of the guys still sitting out there.
Absolutely, they want to come back, right?
Do you think that that's best practice for the Seahawks? That's easy for us, right? And I'm sure that you've created a bond with a number of these guys. I know you have, and Seahawks fans absolutely do. You get emotionally connected. But is that best practice? Is that best practice leadership-wise? Is that best practice where they are their career-wise? You know, these moves they've made thus far, G, you look at the age of these guys, right? Dre Jones is 26. Drew Locke's 26. Devin Bush is 24. He's younger than Stetson Bennett and Hendon Hooker. Evan Brown, the center, is 26. So save for Jaren Reed, who I believe is near 30, and he's up there, the rest of these guys are still in their mid-20s. Would it make sense with Frank and Bobby and crew?
Can I answer that with an analogy?
That's never stopped you before, so yes, go ahead.
Okay. Have y'all ever known of
this
that?
Come back to dating, though? This is going to come back to dating?
Oh, absolutely.
It always does.
It always does.
It always does.
Have you guys ever had that friend or that family and someone that had a huge breakup? I mean, it was a huge breakup. It was a breakup where these friends were on this side, these friends were on this side. It was kind of contentious, and ooh, they didn't do that right, and I can't believe they did that. And it was the real talk. And then after about a year, all of a sudden, they get back together. And sometimes that get back together, all the friends are like, wait a minute, all that was going on? I'm going to bring it back home here. The whole Bobby and the send-off and the goodbye and how that shook down and we love you, Bobby, and which, by the way, the Seahawks and the Seahawks fans love Bobby. But I don't know if that can happen again, because what if Bobby were to be brought back and he comes back as a Seahawk? Now, hear me out. It's 2023. He's a Seahawk. We are all excited. We sing the song, Reunited, and all that
feels
kind of stuff.
So good.
Right. And then, let's just say, in a year or two, the Seahawks want to move on again.
Yeah.
And then what happens? So it's almost like you're going to have Justin in the background saying, they always try to get back together, then they break up. This might be one of those things where it might be just better. Hopefully someone comes and pays Bobby what he's worth. I thought it was going to happen in Dallas. Obviously not. I actually kind of thought it was going to happen here. But the Devin Bush signing made me say,
Yeah, the Devin Bush signing does the same for me. And not because there's not room for Bobby now. There is. I mean, there's still room for another inside linebacker. But it shows to me anyway that what they're looking for is younger, faster.
You know how old Bobby is, by the way?
32.
Mm-hmm. 33 in June.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see them doing that. And it's not a shot at Bobby. I mean, people get older. That's how the world works. And he did have a good year last year. But I do think that the Seahawks are going to be most interested in guys who can just flat out run at the second level, especially because they're looking to make major changes and going back in time. I know they did it with Jaren Reed, but not at very much money. It's hard for me to see them. I mean, look at the biggest signing they made. The guy we're going to talk to here in 20 minutes, Dre Jones.
Where did he go to school?
Where did he? Did he also go to Michigan? I think he's also a Michigan guy.
Michigan State. I tell you what.
Penn State?
I dare you play around with that when you interview
him.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a Cleveland guy. I know that. I know better.
Matter of fact, hey, Maura, cut that sound
Don't
up.
Do that.
No, you well, you wanted to send the stuff to Jaren Reed.
No, of course
cut
not.
Cut that sound up, and my man, when Dre shows up, go ahead and send that to Dre.
You know, someone's going to actually do that.
I don't
that.
Want him mad at our show.
Right. You know, I got enough players in that building that get mad at me for things that I say. I don't need them for jokes that I made, for God's sake.
Not an analogy. This is not an analogy.
Wait, but hold on. Before you get to your not an analogy. Isn't that exactly what they went with there? Younger and specifically faster penetrating all that? I mean, the biggest money they've spent in free agency in over a decade was all about that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's continued through, and that thread continues with a bunch of these other signings. It's not an analogy, but it feels, maybe it's a comparison, Bobby feels almost like an overqualified employee. Right? You'll see some of these job openings. My Macy's interviewing today, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, Macy's job has been basketball forever, but she's got now a few months, and she's realized, you know what, I need to make a little money before I go to college. So she's got a few different interviews, and some of them ask for a little bit more experience. Some of them are really easy to get, and I think she's going to be able to find a job because she's not overqualified, right? This is not – sometimes you think, gosh, you know, come in this position. We'd love to have you. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're just over – what do you mean I'm overqualified? How can you be overqualified for any job, especially if you want it? I think in this case, simply from a Hall of Fame, from a Ring of Honor, from a, no, I'll come in. I'll be a good teammate. I don't need to be the leader. No, I'm sorry, man. Your decade here.
The moment you show up, you are that. You can't help it.
You
right?
can't help it. Yeah. Does that come into play, you think, G, with Bobby in regard in that building, even if he doesn't want to?
I like your analogy. And by the way, how do you spell analogy at the end? Is it G-E-E? Anyway, I like your analogy right there that you just did, the overqualified employee. I think you nailed it right there, Brock. And I think the key to success, and I think we can agree with this, and what we saw last season is most people did not think the Seahawks would do well. Most people thought that, oh my goodness, you're going into the season with either Geno Smith or Drew Lock, you're not going to do well. And we have learned now that the secret to the sauce, to the ingredient, is buy-in, 100% buy-in. And I think in order for Pete Carroll to have the entire team buy-in, he needs everyone to hear a new message. He can't have anyone in the building that's saying, oh, yeah, I've heard that message before. I've heard that. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I think you nailed it, Brock, mm-hmm. with that one. Man, I'm telling you, you right?
I know.
Man.
Hey, we got to get rid of you. This is ridiculous. You're not being brought on here to tell Brock that he's right, for God's
okay,
sake.
Okay, okay, G, now. All right, well, tell Salk he's wrong right now. You like to do that. Tell Salk he's wrong.
About
they're
what?
They're not drafting Anthony Richardson at 5. After they'd signed Drew Lock.
You are talking to the wrong dude.
And Geno. Oh.
You are talking to the wrong dude, bro.
We got
you
a show.
You just stepped in quicksand, dude.
We got a show.
Big mistake.
Well, hey,
G, what do you think the chances are the Seahawks draft somebody like Anthony Richardson at number 5?
The highest percentage there is.
Ooh.
Look here, quarterback. Since John and Pete have been here, what two quarterbacks have they drafted? I'll answer that question.
Magoo.
And Russell Wilson.
Yep.
You drafted one in the third round, and you drafted one in the seventh round. This is your opportunity to go ahead and say, hey, let's get our guy. And I, in my opinion, I think that C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, I think those three right there, I really feel like you got to get one of those.
So the problem I think you have here is that I believe all three of those guys will be gone when you pick at 5. I believe that all three of those players you just said are gone when you get to 5.
That's why you make a move.
So do you believe then, G, and I've asked a lot of people this, and people seem to get annoyed with this question, but I don't care. I like to be annoying. Would you trade up from number 5 to ensure that you get one of those three guys?
Absolutely. You do what you got to do to get what you want. And in this case, if I'm Seattle, and let's just say they want a quarterback, then you make that move and you say, hey, Arizona, you ain't going to do nothing right with anything anyway because you guys, the kind of franchise you are. Here is the number 20 pick, or here's something to let us move up so we can get one of these three quarterbacks.
The one problem you have there, because by the way, I'm not against you here, but the teams in front of you, right? Carolina's drafting a quarterback, right? Can we agree on that? They moved up to number 1. They're drafting a quarterback.
They drafted C.J. Stroud.
Okay, so they're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Houston has to draft a quarterback. They don't have a choice.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
You mentioned Arizona. We'll come back to them in a moment. Indy absolutely needs a quarterback. So three of the four teams ahead of you need a quarterback. Are any of them going to be willing to trade with you, knowing that you're willing, going to draft, you know, let's say it's Anthony Richardson with that pick? Seems hard for me to imagine, and that brings you to Arizona. Are they going to trade in their division in order to ensure that you get that quarterback in their division while they're stuck with Kyler Murray, who doesn't want to work? Sorry, man, that's hard for me to imagine. Now, maybe it's possible, and by the way, I'm certainly interested, but logistically it feels challenging to me.
You got me. Here's
I mean, like, I like the concept, but is it logistically possible to make it happen?
Here's where you got me. I think that whole Arizona thing is tough. Right?
You think Arizona's going to trade with you? I would love for them to. I think that would be a blast.
Yeah.
But you got to, that means, in. I mean, it's not impossible. It happens, right? But is Arizona going to trade the number three pick? And this is why I'm still so freaking mad about the way the season ended. I was furious that day, and I'm just as furious now. How dare you, Houston, convert that 4th and 15 and completely screw the Seahawks? And yourself, by the way, because now they're trying to trade up to the number one pick, which they could have had just by not converting 4th and freaking 15. Morons, absolute morons run that organization from top to bottom. Dumbest organization in sports right now, other than Washington.
Okay.
If they hadn't done that, you'd be sitting at number 4 instead of number 5, and the world is a completely different place.
I'll throw this back at you guys. Oh, no.
Gosh, you are mad. Jeez.
I was so mad at that. If you had been in my house when that happened, I was practically throwing things.
Well,
you guys don't remember. I came in the next day, and the Seahawks had won their final game of the year. They were in the playoffs, and I was freaking furious that had gone down because I knew this was going to be the case. I knew we were going to be having this conversation on March 17th, a few months later, because some moron in the Houston organization didn't know enough to lose that game. Sorry. Go ahead.
I know there's people that believe that Anthony Richardson is the third best quarterback in his draft. I see it different. I see C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson as the most comparable to apples and oranges there is. I think that just whatever franchise they go to, that will be the reason for their success. So I'll ask the two of you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most disappointed, how disappointed would you be if the Seahawks do not get a quarterback with their 5 pick in this scenario? With those three right there, how disappointed would you be? I'll give you mine right now.
10.
Yes.
0. Yeah.
You're a 10.
No, I'm a 10.
Brock,
I'm
a 0. Zero.
I'm a 0.
Wow.
Because I enjoy history. And the Seahawks continue this offseason to do historically what they've always done. You could say, well, they spent on day one. Yeah, they gave Dre a 3-year deal. They didn't absolutely break the bank. It was an excellent deal, but he's a wheelhouse guy. He's bigger, faster, stronger, younger. He's in his mid-20s. Those are the guys that they have traditionally targeted in free agency that don't get their money elsewhere. And history has told me for 11 drafts that John Schneider loves leveraging value. And at number 5, I would contend the other way. I kind of hope somebody reaches. I hope Jalen Carter goes to Arizona 3. I hope their phone is buzzing off the hook. And all of a sudden, 5 turns into, I don't know, 3. You have 3 second rounders this year, 2 other first rounders this year, and you get bigger and you get faster and you get stronger and you get linebacker and you get D-line and you get safety and you get linebacker and you just load up with a bunch of young, hungry dogs. That's what I want.
I'm in between you guys, quite frankly. Here's the thing. There's almost nothing the Seahawks could do at number 5 that would disappoint me right now. I think they are in such a good position. Honestly, gee, I like your idea. I'd be psyched if they traded up to number 3 or whatever it was and drafted the quarterback that they love, because then I'd be all in and that would be super exciting. All right, here's our guy. We've got our quarterback for the future. Awesome. Rock and roll. If they stay at 5 and they draft one of the best defensive players, whether it's Jalen Carter or Will Anderson or even Tyree Wilson, I'll be psyched because they really, really need a marquee defensive presence in their front 7, especially in the front line. So if they trade back, that will disappoint me probably more than anything. But if it's only a spot or two and they still end up with one of these names, I guess I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I just think they put themselves in a great spot. If they want to draft a quarterback, great, you can. But you don't have to. And if you want to draft a defensive player, great. But you don't have to. It's
being,
awesome.
Being interested versus being obsessed. Hey, Brock, were you interested in dating Molly? Salk, were you interested in dating Heather? No. You guys were obsessed with the idea of being with that person. I'm not saying you did obsessive.
Well, restraining order. Restraining order for me speaks for that.
Legitimately sort of obsess over Molly to the point where it's a little weird, the story.
Okay,
yes.
So sometimes you got, I don't know if, I can't say John and Pete feel this way. I am obsessed with one of these three quarterbacks.
We know. Mm. All three of them, really. I'm not sure what that says about you, but it's good to know. G. Scott, of course, coming up in just a few minutes.
You wouldn't wear this stuff, man.
I am not wearing one thing you're wearing. People should see the shoes G's wearing are outside my zone. The pants look like ruffled doilies that belong on a tux. And then it's a Negro Leagues baseball sweatshirt that I don't think I could pull off. And then I don't know, what's the KC hat? What's that all about?
Kansas City Monarchs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it. Oh, so it's kind of doubling down on the theme. Yeah. I love it. And then there's three chains. Like, I can't do any of it.
Does he still go Merce? You ever still go Merce?
I don't see G with a Merce very often.
You know what?
He's been dressing down.
I want to sell him. You want to buy some of them?
No, I'm not buying a Merce.
I guess.
Nobody's buying a Merce. Hey, you got to go. Go do your show. G and Ursula starts at 9 o'clock over on our sister station.
See you guys.
Cairo News Radio 97.3. We're going to be right back with the newest Seahawk, Draymond Jones. He goes by Dre. Dre Jones joins us next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.